Okay, we're coming now, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, to the very last answer, the very last explanation. We've had several. Oh, Reb Nachum, great to see you.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Everybody is, by the way, welcome to take it off mute. Somebody asked me recently, am I still giving my morning shiur? I said, I am, but I don't feel I have the same feel anymore, to be perfectly honest. It's not sitting around the table, learning together, interactive. But it is what it is. But please feel free to be demuted. And
so I'm trying to help you as much as possible for that reason. That's my whole thing.
I knew we could rely on you.
Interact. Interact.
I really don't want to, but I feel bad for you. I understand. It's Rachmanis.
I keep it on mute in case my phone rings.
We're going through the various different explanations of the Machlekes, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir said Moitzi Shemra needs 3 Edim. The Chachamim said 23 Edim. We're trying to work out why they are having this Machlekes. And the bottom line obviously has to be, in the last few cases, is there any chance that we will end up in a case of Dinei Nefoshes? If yes, then 23. And if not, then 3. It's as simple as that. And we've designed many, many, many scenarios. So the last particular scenario was that the Edim testified that she committed Znus, but they admit that they were not the ones who gave Hasra. So if there was no Hasra to talk about, well, obviously she can't be put to death. Death was no Hasra. Unless she's an Isha Chaveira, a knowledgeable woman. We had a discussion about that early on. But at least in the case of a regular person, no Hasra means no Misa. Over here, however, we're talking about there was Hasra. Problem was, it wasn't from the Edim. If it wasn't from the Edim, so that's now the discussion. Does indeed the Hasra have to be from the Edim? If you hold that it does have to be, and in our particular case it wasn't, well, clearly she can't be killed, so there won't be 23 Dayanim. And if you hold it just has to be Hasra from anybody, but not necessarily the Edim, well, then she could be put to death, and therefore 23. That's the last thing we saw. We're now moving up to the very final teretz. I think if you're still counting, I think this is about the eighth different mahalach in the Gemara. Yeah. And it's the seventh line of the Gemara, the Ibayis Eim.
A chavera does not need hasra?
Machlekes. Now we saw earlier in the Gemara whether a chaver needs hasra because he anyway knows the difference between Shegeg and Mezid. The Ibayis Eim says the Gemara. Now we are touching onto a topic which is a very, very big topic. We've actually made very brief mention of it in the past, and we're only going to make brief mention of it now as well, because it's a whole discussion coming up later on. And that is, we have not really gone into the subject much of how the Edim are cross-examined with what's called drishos v'chakiros, searchings and investigations, in order to prove that the Edim are indeed Edei Emes. Obviously, they have to be investigated, have to be cross-examined, and we have to ensure that the two Edim are saying the same story. And the big $64 million question is, how much must you examine them? Okay, so let's take a typical scenario. Two Edim come to Beis Din, Reuben and Shimon, and they say, we saw Pliny be Mechalel Shabbos. So we all understand that obviously we've got to ask the basic details. Where was it? What did he do? But must I ask what color was his tie? And if the first aide says, I think it was green, and the second aide says, I think it was blue. Oh, is that called contradictory aiders? And they're now thrown out? If they're brought to Beis Din and they say, okay, listen, well, where did this Chilul Shabbos happen? One says, well, obviously it was in New York. The other one says it was in London, so we throw them out. That's called hakhosha. Hakhosha is contradictory aiders. If they contradict each other on a basic detail like that, then we all understand that doesn't constitute aiders. But what about on a minor detail? So that is the subject of a big discussion. Like I said, it's not really our sugya. We're only mentioning it by the by in order once again to suggest a new explanation for Ramea the Chachamim. So have a look at the Gemara. The Ibayis Eimah, alternatively, we could suggest the following. The going, the Iskachush, they contradicted each other. iskachosh, again from the word hakchosha. The iskachosh, they contradicted each other. Bebedikos, veloy iskachosh, but they did not contradict each other. Bechakirois. So there's something called bedikos, and there's something called chakirois. Literal translation: bedikos is to check, to be boidek, like bedikas chometz, and chakirois is investigation.
Almost like cross-examination.
Correct. We said this morning in Davening, in Ashrei, when we talk about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, v'ligdulosoi ein cheker. To his greatness, you cannot investigate. It's too big. V'ligdulosoi ein cheker. We said that word in Davening this morning. So there was a contradiction over here between the two Edim, but it was not a contradiction in the Chakirois, but rather in the Bedikos. Now, what's the difference between Bedikos, which is translated as checking, as opposed to Chakirois, which is translated as investigation? What's the difference between a check and an investigation? So have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the second narrow line. Bebedikos. One of them says, Kalov. Now, normally we translate Kalov as in utensil, but it can also be a reference to clothing. Kalov shel boil, one who committed the Avera with this woman. Shechoirim were black. Veze oimer levonim, they were white. Now, is that a contradiction? Absolutely. But is that a contradiction that this qualifies the Edim, meaning what color his clothing was is clearly not an integral part of the story. As opposed to, look at the next Rashi, Chakirois, Eze Yoim, what day did this happen? Ve'eze Shah, and what time did it happen? Or Kiyetzabem, and similar questions. Sheho Edim, Boim, Al Yedehem, Lidei Hazoma. It is only through those types of information questions that the Edom can end up being Edom Zomimim. Remember, Edom Zomimim we've discussed many times. In fact, we're going to discuss it later on today as well. Mitzashem, what does Edom Zomimim mean? That the second lot of Edom say to the first, Imanu Oyisem, you are with us at that time. Now, what does that mean, you are with us at that time? Because you describe this particular Avera taking place in a particular location. At a particular time, those are the absolutely basic details. Well, at that very time, you are with us in a different location. So those chakirois, meaning the questions, the investigations of those basic details, like where did it happen and when did it happen, those are what can bring the Edim to Hazoma. But whether he was wearing black or white clothes cannot bring him to Hazoma, although it's clearly a contradiction. Says Rashi, Reb Meir Yesova, Reb Meir says, Hakchosha Bedikois, even a Hakchosha of a Bedika, meaning even if one says it was black and the other one said it was white. So is that considered contradictory Eidos? Says Reb Meir. Reb Meir sova hakchoshas bedikois shmo hakchosha. That a contradiction in the bedikois, that is called a hakchosha. That's called hakchosha. That's called a contradiction, and therefore veloy miktela. Veloi miktela, and she will not be killed. Meaning, even though there was no contradiction in the main details, in the chakirois, there was only a contradiction in the bedikois, in the minor details. Reb Meir says, I'm sorry, a contradiction is a contradiction. These Edim have now been disqualified. She cannot possibly be killed, in which case, there's no need to have 23 Dayanim. However, for Rabbanon, sorry that no. Kiven de Bechakira. since in the Chakira Nimtzu Mechuvanim, they were found to be Mechuvanim. What does it mean, Mechuvanim? Aligned. Because in the main Chakiras, there was no contradiction in those. One didn't say Sunday and the other one said Monday. One didn't say it was in Yerushalayim, the other one said it was in Yerushalayim. Therefore, Hakhosha de Bedikos, Lav, underline the word Lav, Hakhosha he. The Rabbon are of the opinion that that's not called a contradiction, because as long as they were aligned, as long as they were all together in the Chakirais, which are the most fundamental questions, the fact that there was a minor detail doesn't bother me. Now, the question is, what does that mean? Why doesn't it bother me? After all, there is a contradiction. So if one says that he was wearing a black jacket and the other one says wearing a white jacket, doesn't that indicate that clearly they're liars? Says Rashi, no. Why? Deloy Romu Sadi Adaite. Adatayu. The Sadi means the witnesses. The witnesses do not put on their minds, Adatayu from the word Das, Lemivdik to check, Kulehai, to check into such detail. So therefore, when you see somebody being Mechalal Shabbos, what are the details you look at? Where is this happening? When is this happening? What is he doing? But the color of his jacket is not something you pay much attention to. So when the Dayanim all of a sudden surprised the Edim and they asked this question, hey, what color was his jacket? One says, I think it was black. One says, I think it was white. So in the opinion of Rabbonon, that's not called Hakosha, because the Edim don't pay much attention to what color his jacket is, because it's not an important question. And therefore, basically, they're guessing, in which case it's not called a contradiction. And as long as their Edus was Mechuvan, it was aligned, it was all perfectly equal and truthful with regard to the Chakirais, the main Hakhosha on the Bedikos does not worry us. The Edus is still standing. She can therefore be killed. And that's why I need 23 Dayanim.
According to the Rabbanim, why do Bedikos at all?
We'll see whether you need it at all. Carry on the Gemara.
By the way, Rebbe, this may not be possible the Edus, but when you have a Beis Din of 23, and then they say they start arguing amongst themselves, the guy couldn't even tell you if it was a black jacket or a white jacket. Clearly, his Edus is not reliable. That's an argument that once you go to Beis Din, they might find to be a problem.
That's the Machlaikas. Are the Edus expected to pay attention to such minor detail?
Don't you think that could wind up being a point of contention when they're deciding the case?
The
machlokas is whether we should have 23 or not, because
the machlokas is whether hakosha or bedikos is a hakosha.
Right, but if it's not, then you don't need 23, because they're no longer valid. But I'm saying, let's say they decide that it is not a valid contradiction because black and white is not the issue. Now they go to Beis Din, they have 23. Now Beis Din itself could have a problem with that.
No, it's 23. Once we decide the Hakosha of the Dikos is not considered Hakosha, therefore that detail is totally dismissed and is irrelevant. Therefore we only home in on the main details and she can be killed. Now have a look at the Hemshech of the Gemara. Again, Riboy Seima Kagoin de Iskechish be Bedikos veloy Iskechish be Chakirais. There is a contradiction in the Bedikos, which is the minor details, veloy Iskechish be Chakirais on the major details. The Komiflegi, and this Machlaikas is an old, long standing Machlaikas be Plukta, the Machlaikas de Ben Zakai be Rabbonon, the Tanan. We have a Mishnah. Maisa, there was a story, Ubodak ben Zakai be'uktze te'enim. Ben Zakai cross-examined the Edus to such detail that he asked them, what about the stalks of the figs? Which stalks? Which figs? What's he talking about? Look at Rashi. Book seitanim. Because the story was Sha'omru ha'edim. Because the Edim had apparently said Tachas te'eno nase maisa. It was underneath a fig tree that a particular act occurred. Omar loy. So Ben Zakkai said to the Edim, ah, let me see. You're telling me that this particular act, whatever it was, took place underneath a fig tree. I need to ask you some questions about the figs now. Te'eno zu, this fig tree, uktseho dakin, were the stalks thin, oy uktseho gasin, or were they wide? Uktsin means, says Rashi, znovois te'enim, it's like the tail, the stalk of the fig. K'moi nitol uktse. So Ramesh Zelek, you asked before, why would you ask Bichlal, a detail like that? And the answer is, it's a machlekas whether you'd ask a detail like that. Ben Zakkai says you have to ask even the most minor details. And if one aid says that the stalks were narrow and the other one says they were wide, then you dismiss the aidus. The other opinion, which is the Rabbanon, says, no, you don't ask details. But what happens if they would volunteer that information and contradict themselves? According to the Rabbanon, you don't ask about the stalks of the Te'enim. But what happens if that information emerged in investigation? And one of them said, yep. Yeah. So we were in Bet Shemesh Shabbos afternoon, and we see this guy with a black jacket. And the other one says the same thing. We were in Bet Shemesh Shabbos afternoon, and this guy with a white jacket. Ah. So I would have never have asked you what color was his jacket. But this information has now emerged. Is that a stira or not a stira? Is that a kosher or is it not a kosher? Says the Gemara, it's a machlekes tanoim. According to Ben Zakkai, it's a hakosher. Why? Because Ben Zakkai says you've got to ask even very, very specific details, like how wide were the stalks of the fig tree? And if they contradict each other, even on information like that, that's considered a hakosher. Whereas the Rabbanon said, no, it's not. You only have to ask the big questions, and that's where you can have caution.
By the way, again, this is not to help you decide whether the person is guilty or not. This is just to decide how many dayanim we need.
Right. 100%.
It's a different, that's what I meant. My point was before, once you have the dayanim, that is a totally different argument. And the dayanim have every right to say, listen, the guy couldn't even tell us what color his jacket is. I'm not going to put someone to death over this.
No, but again, it depends. It depends. It depends.
Once you pick the Dayanim, Rebbe, right? We agree.
They can't just throw out the Edim at will. They've got to throw out the Edim on a halachic basis. If
fine,
you hold
so,
that yeah. Small details are irrelevant, they can't just decide, well, we're going to throw out the Edim because one said a black jacket, one said a white jacket. That will depend on a Rabbanon and Ben Zakkai. They can't just say, well, I'm sorry, we consider this a contradiction.
But then, what you're saying is, once the 23 Adayim are there, it's Chayav Misa already. There's not even a boy because the isn't the whole point? If you person brings it,
you have the Adim. There's no contradiction in the main details. Fine. Now it could well be there'll need to be 50 other examinations before you put somebody to death. There's a million stages, not just a 5-second process.
If the Adim comes, basic
contradiction in the Chakirais, then the Ados is a non-starter. If there's a contradiction in the bedikos, it's a machlekas whether it's a non-starter or not. If it's a non-starter, well, then you don't need 23. And if it is a starter, then you do need 23 who will continue to quiz the Edom and other questions as well. But again, it all begins is, does the Edom get off the ground at all? But in order to put somebody to death, it's not a 5-second process, Chas v'Shalom. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we have finished this sugya, which has taken us a while, and it's taken us in all different directions, off subject really, because we're trying to work out why Moitzi Shemra would require either 3 or 23 Dayanim. We began with Laz, with Kovod, and then all types of different scenarios with Hasro and the Chaver and the Edim, all the way up to this very last Shaila. Okay, we're now moving on, Rabbi Isai, me'inyan le'inyan, because we're going to talk about Edom Zayman again. And we're still talking about Moitzi Shemra. Now, let's just remind ourselves, by now it should be crystal clear, but let's just remind ourselves. Moitzi Shemra is the Baal, brings Edom to Bezdin, that she committed Znus. She turns out, therefore, not to be the Basula that he thought he was marrying. What happens? Well, number one, she's put to death. Number two, the ksuba obviously does not need to be paid. So there are two ramifications of her committing znus. Number one, a death penalty. And number two, a financial penalty. She will not be zeicha to her ksuba. Neither will she be zeicha to life because she's going to be killed. In the event that it turns out that the husband was a liar, so obviously there will be no death penalty to the woman. Obviously her ksuba is still intact. On top of that, there's a knas that the husband has to pay to the father for accusing, for slandering his daughter and accusing her of committing znus. He has to pay mea kesef knas. Those are the basic facts on the ground, which we have to be clear in. Now, have a look at the Gemara. Omer Rav Yosef, first one on the line, Yosef. Omer Rav Yosef, Hevi HaBaal Edim Shezinso. The husband brought witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, that she committed Znus. Znus in our particular case means that she committed an Avera post the Kiddushin. We discussed this on previous occasions. Once she's a Mukudeshes, she's essentially a fully married woman, even though she doesn't yet live together with a husband. That's only after the Chuppah. So Reuven and Shimon are marched into the Bezdin by the husband. And Reuven and Shimon claim, we know, we saw that this woman committed Znus whilst she was betrothed to the husband. At that stage, if we were to press pause now, what would happen? Like we said, the woman, the wife, would be put to death, and also she would lose her ksuba. However, that's not the end of the story. Vehevi ha'av edim. And now the father stepped in, and he brought his edim, Levi and Yehuda, vehezimum le'ede habal. And they are mazim, Reuben and Shimon. So Levi and Yehuda come into Bezdin. How can you, Reuven and Shimon, claim that she committed Znus in Bet Shemesh on Tuesday morning? But on that very Tuesday morning, you were with us in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. So what happens to Reuven and Shimon now? So we know the rule. There is the famous Kasher Zomam rule. Kasher Zomam, you do to the Edim that which they were trying to inflict themselves. If two Edom come to Bezdin and they testify somebody was Mechalel Shabbos and he deserves Skila, and they turn out to be Edom Zayman, then they get Skila. If two Edom come to Bezdin and they say that somebody stole money and he owes $1 million and it turns out to be Edom Zayman, then they have to pay $1 million. So whatever they were trying to inflict, that's what they get. But here comes a big question. The first lot of Edom, meaning Reuven and Shimon, as we said, were trying to inflict two things. Death penalty of the wife, and also a lack of a ksuba. How much is a ksuba? 200 zuz. So now that they've been turned out to be disproven because they're Edom Zaymamin, which punishment are you going to give them? Are we going to put them to death? Are we going to slap on the financial punishment? Are we going to do both? Are we going to do one? Are we going to do neither? What do we do?
Doesn't it say in Gemara Ksuvis that if you chayev mamon or malkos or some mamon, I think it says mamon, but then it turns out you chayev misa, then the mamon disappears because the misa is mogarua?
Larry, this shir is aimed for those who have prepared the Gemara. It's the next line. Says the Gemara, what do you do? Again. Hevi Abal Edim Shezinso. The husband brought Edim, Reuben and Shimon, that she committed Znus. Then Vehevi Ho'av Edim. Now the father steps in with Levi and Yehuda. Vehezimom Leide Abal. And they are mazim. Levi and Yehuda are mazim. Reuben and Shimon. Eide Habal. That's the first lot of Edim. Numbers 1 and 2, Reuben and Shimon. Neherogin will be killed. But Ve'ein Meshalmin Momoin, but do not have to pay Momoin. So essentially, they deserve two punishments, death and Momoin. But we have a famous principle called Kom Lei B'Derabba Minei. Kom Lei B'Derabba Minei, which we'll see in Rashi in a second, is the famous rule that when somebody does one act, which essentially merits two punishments, he only gets the more severe of the two. What's the classic case? If Reuven would go up to Shimon on Shabbos and he would tear his garment, Reuven tears Shimon's garment. So number one, he's chayev skila for tearing a clothing on Shabbos. Number two, he's chayev momon because you just damaged somebody else's beged. The halacha is, no, he gets put to death, but he does not have to pay. Because of those two, he gets the more severe. So too over here as well. Reuven and Shimon, they wanted to inflict death and momon. Therefore, they themselves only get death. Now, continue the story because we ain't finished yet. So far, who do we have? Reuven and Shimon, who accused the wife of committing znus. Levi and Yehuda were brought in by the father, and they tell Reuven and Shimon that, no, your edim is amen. Now what happens? Chozar Vehevi Habal. Now the Baal went back and he brought further Edim. Vehezimon Le'ede Yoav. He's now brought in Yisocha and Zvulun. Numbers 5 and 6. And they are mazim, the father's Edim. So you've got numbers 3 and 4 who are attempting to be mazim, numbers 1 and 2, but now 5 and 6 have been mazim 3 and 4, which turns out therefore to mean that therefore 1 and 2 are reinstated. Because those who are trying to be mazim them, i.e. 3 and 4, have turned out themselves to be liars. Okay, so obviously 1 and 2 are completely off the hook now. Their edus is reinstated. Now we have to make a decision. What are we going to do with 3 and 4?
Chai Misa.
What were 3 and 4 trying to do? So number one, they were trying their best to have numbers 1 and 2 put to death. As the Gemara said in the previous line, Neherogim. But let's not forget they were trying to do something else as well. Because if 3 and 4 said to number 1 and 2 that you are liars, that means that the husband was falsely accusing his wife of committing zinus. In which case he would have had to have pay a knas of 100 zuz to the father. So essentially, 3 and 4 were also trying to do two things. They were trying to have numbers 1 and 2 killed. Because number 1 and 2 were trying to get the woman killed. And on top of that, they were also trying to get the husband to pay a knas for slandering his newlywed wife.
But they weren't chayiv in the mamon because we just had that klal.
No, that was the momon with regard to the ksuba. There's two, that's why we made the introduction. There are two separate financial questions over here, unrelated. Number one, what's the situation of her ksuba? Number two, in the event that it turns out that the husband's claim is lying, so he has to pay a knas to the father. You have to hold cup over here. So therefore, when 1 and 2 came into the Bezdin, brought in by the husband, and they said the wife has committed znus, So they were trying to inflict death onto the wife, and also momoin to the wife, meaning that she's lost her ksuba. Two things they were trying to do. When three and four mazim them, so what do you do to numbers one and two? You put them to death, but momoin, they're off the hook, because you can't have two punishments. But before we could put them together, in run five and six, again, brought in by the husband, and they knocked out numbers three and four. So if they knock out three and four, then number one and two come back in. So it turns out that the husband's claim was absolutely perfect, reinstated. But three and four, the Aiden brought in by the father, they were trying to accuse number one and two of being liars, which means that the husband is also a liar. So therefore, they were trying, number one, to get numbers one and two killed. And they were also trying to get the husband to have to pay up a knas to his brand new father-in-law, the 100 zuz. So what do I do now with three and four, says the Gemara? Eidei ho'av neherogin. And guess what? Uma shalmin momoi. They get two punishments. How can that be? Says the Gemara, momoin lezer, the nefoshois lezer.
So this is literally like saying,
one second, I haven't said it yet. So what does it mean, momoin lezer, or misa lezer, nefoshois lezer?
Two different people.
It's two different machayvim, two different people. In the classic case of Komlei Midrabba B'nei, it's one act that was machayev me two punishments for the same reason. So then you get the stricter of the two. But over here, six and five said to three and four, you're liars. Three and four, again, were trying to get numbers one and two killed. So they were planning and plotting against number one and two, but they were also planning and plotting against the husband. So they were doing two simultaneous plottings. Va'asisim lo'i ka'asher zomam. You have to get whatever you were planning. You were planning to incriminate number one and two to get them killed, so you'll get killed. But separately, you were also planning to have the husband, not one and two. You were planning on getting the husband to pay a knas. So you'll have to pay a knas.
So in other words, a guy robs a bank, and in the bank robbery, he kills somebody. Chayv Misa, and there's a witnesses that's wrong the whole thing. Chayv Misa for murder. Ah, but he's also Chayv Mabon because he stole money. Right. And that doesn't get wiped out because it's right. Two completely separate crimes. Yeah.
So there are a number of Rashis over here. We have to work out, but that's the basic picture in this story. Okay, so have a look at the Rashis, and Amitz Hashem, tomorrow in the beginning, we'll pick this up from the beginning.
Asher Koach.
Thank you, Rabbi.